Good evening. It is 6:01, and I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission on February 8th, 2023 at 6 p.m. We are in the Kaiser Civic Center, and welcome back. I feel like I haven't seen you all since last year. I feel like that's a joke you have to say after the new year. Jeremy doesn't agree. All right.
My 13-year-old said it.
So with that being said, my son pulled a same kind of deal. All right, so City Attorney Johnson sent me some notes here. Our first order of business is to do the election of a chair and vice chair. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for nominations for chair. And we can do chair and vice chair if one is a sweep, right? Or we can do single nominations up to all. So floor's open for nominations.
I would like to nominate Matt Lawyer for chair and Jeremy Grenz for vice.
Okay, so we have, I'm reading my notes. I'm like, I remember there was something that didn't say in
Second.
Can we second right away?
There's no second required, but there is the ability for additional nominations.
Okay, so we have a nomination for Matt Lawyer as chair and Jeremy Grenz as vice chair. Is there any other nominations? Do you want to say this?
I'm fine.
Okay, hearing no additional nominations, we'll go ahead and close the nominations. I'm trying to follow this right. Shannon did great notes. We will just do a vote by hand to affirm the nominations for Matt Lawyer as chair and Jeremy Grenz as vice chair. So if you're in favor, by consensus, just raise your hand. All right. Well, that was painful. Sorry about that.
Not for us.
Not for you all. Good. Danny always prints out an agenda. Thank you. Wow, we are having fun. All right, so approval of minutes. Everybody should have seen the November 2022 minutes Debbie sent. Is there any motion on the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the November 2022 minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Herb and a second by Commissioner Grenz. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay. Motion passes unanimously with two absent. Yeah. All right, appearance of interested citizens. First we have Ms. Rhonda Rich. Come on up, please. And if you would, please state your name and city residence for the record.
Good evening, my name is Rhonda Rich. I live in Kaiser. And I'm here tonight because I was elected again as president of the West Kaiser Neighborhood Association for this year. And kind of excited that we're going to continue on as last year, but we're adding, we've had board members go to different meetings like the traffic bikeways, the parks board. We're going to add on planning commission to our group because we feel there's a lot going on that we need to keep our finger in the pulse here. I know Shane's been really good about drawing us in. I think there was a density, I forgot the name of it, mental housing, that, you know, we came in at kind of in the end. I don't think we could have done too much, but, you know, we want to be able to bring it back. These people will bring it back to the board. We can discuss things, and then we bring things to their general meetings for our general membership to keep them informed as to what's going on in our community. So tonight I have Rob Witters, he's on the board, and he will be the main contact person. He's the one really excited about coming to your meetings. He came last night, he was so excited. But he will be, and it's kind of up his alley in what he is involved with at work. And Carolyn Holman, she's our secretary, and she... So we don't all have to come to the meetings. If like Rob can't come, somebody will come to the meeting to kind of, you know, get updated and give any input if we need to. And then Gary Blake is also a board member. And so we don't actually have a committee. We just have committed board members and that come back to our board. We haven't gotten that formal to have committees yet, but if something did come up, say Urban Growth Foundry or something like that, you know, we might consider doing that because that's an issue that's really will affect all of us. So we're just thank you for all the work you've done. I just know it's a big job planning Kaiser. So
Ron, I've known you for years, coming to specifically Parks Board meetings, and Rob, I'm excited that you're going to be coming and checking out the Planning Commission meetings. I think it's really important to, one thing I want to cue you in is when you're looking at the agendas, there's a public hearing, dive into it a little bit, get the word out. I think this committee in particular struggles to get people to participate because land use is a really complicated issue, and Shane and Dina and Shannon do a tremendous job of bringing us forth really, really good things to consider. But I think what, as a planning commissioner, I want to see more people from the public get involved. So that's getting those notices, looking at those things early, asking the questions, and then coming and talking to the planning commission, especially if there's something in particular that you may just want to learn or ask questions about and clarify. But glad to have you all here. West Kaiser's always very active, and I am very excited to have you all here.
Thank you.
Commissioners, any other comments for Rhonda?
I have one question. I know on your agenda, you talked about there's a public hearing on the 23rd, but it's a virtual one. Is that?
So I think Shane's going to talk a little bit about that later on in his new old business. But yeah. You want to touch on it real quick? It's just really quiet.
Okay.
Kind of to give an informational overview of what blockable mixed use areas are, and this is born out of the climate friendly and equitable community ruling that was passed. And so it's something that we, as the city of Kaiser, Salem, and Grand County, our region is doing. But there's kind of a specific element to it, which I will be sharing at that. But yeah, it'll be myself, Salem staff,
Will it be on Kaiser TV? On the website? On the website? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I hope we have more of the in-person meetings. I know we're always. Yeah, okay. Okay, great. Because we're all looking at pulling in. I know Tammy, she's with the Northeast Kaiser. They're always looking for topics to pull people in to get some interest, and development's always a good one to pull people in. So thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gary Blake. Do you want to talk? Gary? You want to say anything to us? All right. Rob, your name got called out. Do you want to take a moment and step up, or are you good? You don't have to. I just, it's kind of one of those general rule of thumbs for me. If somebody's name gets called out, I give them opportunity to rebut.
Sure. Rob Witters, I'm a resident of Kaiser. I don't really have anything to add to what Ron has said. I am planning on coming to the meetings as much as possible. This kind of falls in my wheelhouse. I'm kind of a planning nerd. So I'm interested in most of the topics that we'll probably be coming across here, but it also relates to what I do professionally also, so that's probably where that all comes from. But I'm interested in coming, and I will take note of what you mentioned about getting the word out and try and share with my neighbors and elsewhere, especially if I see topics of interest that are coming across, because I do know that, you know, I don't know that people always realize the decisions that are made, how they affect them, you know, whether they think it's direct or not. Usually it does affect them in one way or another, whether it's, you know, their neighborhood or just the city or how they're getting around or what have you. So, but excited to be here. So.
Thank you. And Debbie, do you want me to give you this sheet back so we can sign on it? All right, so we have no public hearing tonight, so is there anybody else? The floor's open, I'm breaking all the rules. Any other opportunity to say something? Carolyn? All right, Lyndon's writing down, Matt Lawyer's breaking all the rules. All right, Shane, moving on to the new old business staff report. Let's talk about the 2023 work plan.
Yeah, so tonight, this is kind of historically something we normally do at our January meeting. We didn't have one this year, so so what I've included is a little bit of a work task list. We'll kind of walk through those, but the one thing I wanted to kind of point out there on the dais in front of you, there was an additional list. Since Jane's not here in England, there was a little list that the legal department had squirreled away, apparently, some small things. So that is added on. And specifically what I want to kind of talk about tonight is we'll talk about just briefly what we have on our list that basically Dana and I have identified as things that, you know, we're going to be working on this year, a few ongoing things that have been on lists in the past that are kind of carry forwards, and then we'll briefly touch on the legal department's list. And what I'd be looking for from Planning Commission tonight is essentially a recommendation or a motion that, yes, this is a good list, let's move forward. But more than that, if there are other things that planning commissioners have interest in us adding to this list or modifying things on this list, we want to get that input. And so this kind of gives us a little bit of a roadmap for our year coming up. As you all know, there have been many changes since I've been put into the position of coming to these meetings all the time and becoming the planning director for the city. So it feels often that our work is directed by others outside of our control. And that's okay. That's just what we have to do sometimes. So obviously the list is not life. The list is not like it's a guide, and that's what it is. So there's nothing that is magical about it, and it doesn't mean we're gonna do all of these things. I hope that we will, but I also know that there are some other things we're having to work on that may take precedence. Surprises. So, with nothing further to say other than let's jump into the list real quick. I'm going to mix it up on you guys just so it'll be made less boring. We're going to start at the back of the list and move forward.
What?
So, we're going to kind of look just as a reminder. I don't know if you guys remember. those two are just kind of ongoing, real kind of high-level looks. The other one that's been on our list for a while is we have a lot of urban transition land in the north part of Kaiser. It's all been designated as low-density residential for as long as I've worked here. Generally, right now, when people come in and redevelop those properties, if they partition or subdivide, they automatically rezone to residential single-family. There's been some talk over the years of the city possibly initiating a legislative rezone of all those properties and just making them residential. But there's some political stuff that goes along with that. And honestly, it's one of those where we have historically taken the position of, and I don't expect that we'll shift tracks on this, but again, I get directed. I don't make the directions. But generally, we've taken the approach as a city, you know, the royal we, so to speak, that we kind of allow property owners to drive the bus on those kind of decisions. So that one's out there, just kind of as a holdover, and you know, it's there, but it's not a high priority. The second is like it, the revitalization plan that we adopted, I believe, in December of 2018, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't want to obligate you to multiple nights a month and all of that. So that we're kind of eyeing April, but we haven't. I have to wait on some of the technical work before. It's just it's a little bit of a moving target for me. So and ultimately, the designation and the study has to be complete by next December, and then within the following year, we will have to update the development code, comp plan, whatever we have to update to make that really happen. And so that's kind of on the list where there will be some work this year, but probably the heavy lift from Planning Commission will be more likely next year, unless something changes. So there's that. And then the other piece is our regional scenario planning work, which is also required out of this. Don't really ask me what that is, because I don't totally understand it. Sorry, guys, the planning director. It is what it is. Rob will help me. So now, basically, what regional scenario planning is we have to participate, coordinate with Salem and Marion County within our metropolitan planning organization and look at basically land use and transportation together. And this is specifically in light of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And ultimately, we have to come up with a preferred scenario of what our future will look like 20 years from now. And then that will give guidance to transportation system plan updates in the future. It's kind of almost like a step one of a TSP update in some regards with the way they've changed the rules. The good news is that we are being assured, and thus far, the state has been putting the money where their mouth is. And they're providing consultants to do the climate-friendly area work and things that we didn't have budgeted for or staff capacity to do. And the indication is that those transportation system plan updates, which are historically very, very competitive to get grants for and difficult to get grants for, and they take a long time. Our current TSP is from 2009, the last time it was updated. So we've been wanting, the council has been wanting as one of their goals to update TSP for several years. And so this does give us a path to do that. And when we kind of, there will be pieces of that work that we will be, I will be coming to you on occasion to get input and recommendations. So that's kind of what that all means. The other thing we have identified is a few text amendments. I know this is probably your favorite one to amend. I think we've maybe only done it once, but accessory dwelling units. We've done it a lot of times.
It's been too long, though. It's been too long. I almost forget what ADU means.
Standards. We got to do that again. No, but in all seriousness, we have had folks come in who want to build ADUs or do ADUs, and the way our current code language is written, we've had to turn some of those opportunities away. And so we are just beginning to try to kind of collect some other examples from other cities basically, we need to adopt the study, and that will need to come to Planning Commission for a recommendation to council in order to do that, and it will also involve some updates to the comprehensive plan to align all those things. So if that one, when we get to that point, that may be more than a one meeting kind of deal. So I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up on that. So that's my list, Dana and I's list, kind of what we came up with, that we think we're going to be spending most of our time doing this next year with y'all. And with that, the last little bit is the one I handed you from the city attorney. And so the city attorney's additional item that they added, they're pretty innocuous. I mean, they're not like big earth-shattering things. The thing about attorneys, they don't tell us what to do, but they make sure we do it right normally. So there's one, the first one on the list. I tell you what, I don't even know what that means. That's something straight from Shannon, but it has something to do with an ORS and regarding corporations. So apparently we might have to change something on that. I can't tell you what that means exactly. The next kind of four are basically Scrivener-type errors in the development code that we've found over the years, or that Tammy's found over the years, where there's maybe an inconsistency here, a word that's used here, or something that's not referenced that should be. What I would anticipate is that we would bring all of those to you in one meeting, because they would be pretty low level. None of those that are listed are really policy type of things. They're a little bit more bookkeeping type of things. And then there's the other one identified as the interpretation process. I kind of described it there for you, but we have a provision in our code that when there is ambiguity or a lack of clarity in the development code, the zoning administrator has the authority to make interpretations, which is me, or I can choose to send that to the legal department or to city council. But there's no actual process outlined in the development code for what that should look like, or if interpretations are appealable. So there's some weirdness there. It's one of those that Shannon and I have talked about that for quite a while, that we need something, and that will be a bit dependent on the legal department giving us some guidance on what that needs to look like. But when we do that, it will involve changing the development code or creating a new process. So that is something that we'll definitely want to have you weigh in on and give us some guidance on what makes sense.
So you say the process is left to interpretation right now.
Yeah, which I mean is awesome. They give me a magic wand and they'll do what you want, but it seems, I mean, anybody who's known me very long, like that's not a good idea. And then the last one, again, it's a Scrivener type error in the comp plan. There's some language in there where there's inconsistency in the words that are used between factors and criteria.
Right.
So that's my list. And with that, I would ask, does the list look good to you guys? Do you want to add some things to it? Do you want to tweak some things? It's really all up to you guys.
What does Dan think about the list?
We worked on it together. I did find a few other things that I would add to Shannon's Scrivener errors.
Good. Wonderful. Commissioners, questions, comments? Commissioner?
I just need some clarification on a couple of things. And so on the text amendment accessory dwelling units, what does that second bullet point mean? What is SFD? I'm sure I should know it. But clarification on allowance in conjunction with SFD. Thank you.
Want to allow middle housing to also have accessory dwelling units, and the
Okay. And then just my other one was on that housing needs analysis and buildable lands inventory. Wasn't there some sort of deadline that we had to accept that? That's from the Wayback Memory Machine.
Which is also part of the reason why we kind of put a pin in it, because we weren't ready to do a housing production strategy immediately. So yes, that one, there's a little bit of a nuance there for sure.
Okay, and then a follow-up. I seem to think that also might be related to any UGB discussions, right? Because part of the housing, we're saying, well, we don't have it here, but Salem does, so we're good.
There's a ton to unpack right now between the two DLCD housing groups. I sat on one, and you know, in particular, you got the executive order from Governor Kotek 23-04, which specifically calls for a very ambitious goal of increasing development by 36,000 or so units per year over the course of the next 10 years. There's a lot. And I'm interested, there's what I'm calling sort of a cleanup bill that's being proposed right now, which is House Bill 2659, which essentially takes the existing CFEC rules, puts them on pause, and makes them go back through an actual process with actual participation. And there's some really good goals, I think, within that bill, if that bill passes. So there's so many things right now with this legislative session that I think there's a lot of really ambitious, in some cases, some very good goals. All that to be said, like, we went through the RCOD, River Cherry Overlay District process, with the intent of kind of, not necessarily foreshadowing, but trying to do the good work prior to the implementation of House Bill 2001. Found out we were, like, mostly wrong. We're kind of right, but we were mostly wrong. And so it's just... I think the work's important, but at the same time, like, we could get two-thirds through the process through the CFEC process and find out, nope, that's entirely done. And then it's like, okay, do we keep it in the code? Do we go back and change it in the code? Like, I don't like this idea of let's wait and see. But it's like, how do we be purposeful in the process so that we're being thoughtful about the land and the resources that we have without painting ourselves in a corner and not being able to come out of it. The statewide housing needs analysis, there's gonna be regional housing needs analysis, there's gonna be regional, as you mentioned, housing production strategies. There's so many things that are coming out of the two DLCD task force that I think are gonna influence that. And part of them, actually, one of the things I'm actually very encouraged about is the opportunity to streamline a UGB expansion process. That was probably one of the things that I felt the best out of it. And they're being thoughtful and taking away golf courses in really hilly and slopey areas out of the buildable lands inventory and things that are clearly part of the floodplain. Like, there's some really good thought process in here. All that to say, I think that you guys are the experts. And I think that there's things that we probably need to do. I would say certainly, I hate to use the term low-hanging for descriptors, you know, Shannon's notes, things like that. You know, if those are things that we just need to do as a matter of course, I think that makes sense. With regards to the design standards and some of our, I love ADUs. I'm really happy we get to talk about this again. I feel like it's only like the seventh or ninth time since I've been on the Planning Commission. But hey, I'm going to take a look at this. I see this as an absolute win, considering the amount of work that you all have had to go through over the course of the last 24 months and the sheer volume of changes within the development code. If this is all you guys missed, it's a big win. And I think you and Dina and Shannon, and was it Angelo Planning Group, now it's MIG? Those guys were awesome. They did such a superb job in trying to navigate us through the House Bill 2001 process. That's my own personal opinion, but I'd say let's get to the stuff that makes sense. It's easy to do. I'm in kind of a wait and see thing, and I'm going to propose something here that might be, I don't know if I want to call it controversial. Has the Planning Commission ever offered or suggested to the council any support on a bill at all? Are we allowed to do that? Well, I'd like to know whether or not we can first, before I offer it up. But,
give me a favor and maybe email me tomorrow, and I'll chat with our city attorney and kind of get some guidance from them on that.
There's some good bills out there, and I think DLC and the governor's office and some other people have put together some really good bills, and I think that we just need to be mindful and pay attention to where it matters. I don't know if we want to get into that business, but I don't know. It's just a thought I have.
Commissioner. So I guess it's kind of along those lines. I mean, this is a legislative session that housing and homeless are the three top priorities, and those are two of them. And so, like we did all the work on. You know, we talked a lot about parking and stuff in this in our first conversation, and we had some folks come in and say, you can't talk about parking anymore. So I'm kind of in favor of kind of slow rolling these first ones, the least we get past session, unless you guys are pretty clear on what's going on over there in the building, because I have a feeling we can be making some decisions and we get overruled by the Capitol. Because it's fast moving over there. And like I said, when we have a governor that ran on this, and she is determined to expand how cities look at housing. And so that's my only caution on this task. Because you didn't say when we were going to do it, but I would look towards trying to push some of this stuff past, at least when we have a better idea of what that, because we can make these changes and all of a sudden we get overruled and.
In order.
This month and do this or that, because I recognize it is very fluid, and that is the thing about this list, is it's a working list for us, but it is very fluid, and so far, based on previous direction that Planning Commission has given us on some of these things like parking and different things, the way we are choosing to approach it, which I believe is still in step with what Planning Commission is looking at, is because the OARs are in effect and there are certain dates and deadlines we have to meet, we need to do the work in order to meet those deadlines unless and until those deadlines change, right? So that we stay in compliance with state law. And so we're not looking to push and be, in no way am I proposing that we would be the cutting edge of the sword on these items. It would be more of, okay, here's where we're at.
So another thing is, I don't know if we're going to talk about this at some time, but somehow we actually look at some of the things we allow on lots, because I talked to you, there's a new house or they remodeled a house there on the corner of the Parkway in Verda, and you said that they want to put a shop in. And what was the square footage you said that the shop could be?
600 square feet.
Yeah, so, I mean, can't put fit a car in there, but could they build a garage that's big?
If it was attached to the house, yeah, it'd be part of the house.
Yeah, so I mean, it's things like that, because I mean, we know this town has, and I know they were before this, but there's a lot of shops in this town that are much bigger than 600 square feet. And many of them have, you know, metal sidings, which I know is not allowed by our code too. So, I mean, I think we got to start talking about, you know, some of those things too. Like I said, the ADU above a garage. I mean, do we care where the square footage is, if it's attached to the ground or in the air? I mean, I don't know what everybody else's thoughts are, but I think what's going to come out of this session is a lot of flexibility on, you know, what to do that land and how to best use the land, because Kaiser has a lot of pretty good sized lots around. And I know that talking with neighbors and things like that, there's you know, some creative ideas on what to do with that extra ground that's out there. So anyway, thank you.
Shane, the legislative rezone of UT properties and the can you get into the weeds a little bit on the elimination, the possible barriers to infill and redevelopment? Well enough to let me know that it's not like they have to go through this comp plan zone change and spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Can I just ask again, what do you mean by legislative rezone? You know, I think, oh, the legislator, you, or legislature, you just mean, as a matter of course, you're going to take this whole section and rezone it. The city would do that instead of one by one.
Zone River Road and Cherry Avenue from commercial mix and commercial office. It was like a mix of zones along that were
So what I've heard is, obviously knock out some of the low-hanging fruit, get through Shannon's list of Scrivener errors and otherwise legal-type things. Heard from Commissioner Burson and to a lesser, I guess to myself, about maybe slow-rolling some of these issues under CFAC. I want to qualify that a little bit in that this is a tri-jurisdictional issue specific to the shared UGB with Salem, Marion County, and Kaiser. There is a group being sort of ushered through this process by COG, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so all three jurisdictions are looking at this. The CFEC rules are specific to the UGB, but also specific to what's within the city limits, correct?
I don't totally know how the scenario planning element is going to work out. One of the things that we have to do as a group is come up with a governance structure of how we're going to move that through that process.
Right.
But more specifically, right now on the quicker deadline is our climate friendly area or walkable mixed use areas studies. And in that specifically, which we'll learn more if you come to the meeting on the 23rd about a little bit of the nuances.
What time is that at, Shannon?
It's at noon.
Okay.
From 12 to 1:30. But so, because Salem is a larger jurisdiction, they have a little different rules that they have to look at than we do at our size, and which is also different than what Marion County would be looking at. So, that's just something where there, it is coordinated, but there are elements of it that are very specific to us and where we designate our climate friendly areas and what those end up looking like, that is, Salem and Marion County don't have anything to say about that. It's a Kaiser specific thing. Sorry.
So all that to say, I think this is an issue that all three jurisdictions within the urban growth plan are looking at. I know Salem is being very aggressive, and I think that they have a little more flexibility to do that. They've got quite a bit more land areas to do this. Downtown is certainly one of those areas that is much more akin to this kind of thought process. So I think I just wanted to qualify that just a little bit from my perspective. This isn't just a Kaiser thing. This is a shared thing. Talked about ADUs. I think that sounds like one. And then the design standards. Was I missing any? No. Does that provide, I know we're kind of in a holding pattern for the potential master plan change for Kaiser Station, Buildable Lands Inventory, Housing Needs Analysis, and then the Transportation System Plan. Those are sort of out there in the ether, but could potentially materialize.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, Joe, what I'm hoping to get from you all tonight is a yes, this looks like we're on the right track kind of deal, or if there are, I think the input I've gotten is great. I think I'm hearing you. I think we're on the same wavelength, which is good, because the last thing I want to do is Dean and I do a bunch of work and bring something to the Planning Commission, and you all know what I'm getting going. So I think we've gotten the kind of direction I was looking for tonight.
Great. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, good work. And again, I just want to commend you all the work last year. It's not a long list of things that were done, but it's a very complicated list of things that were done. Like super complicated. And so if Kaiser Times writes anything tonight, it's that our planning group in Kaiser did an absolutely fantastic job doing really, really, really hard work. Put you back on the front page. Put you both on the front page. And then I want to see both these guys on the front page. Not just Shane.
Don't forget that extra really in there.
Really, really, really.
Really, really.
I'm going to go back and count my reels. No, I mean, seriously, good job. And for my colleagues on the dais here, it was a lot of work. And it was deep head work. We had some good discussion about it. And I just want to thank you and congratulate you for dealing with the suck. So, all right. City Council Liaison Report. Councilor Dran, good evening.
Good evening. City Council on Monday night went through a presentation from Wilsonville, City of Wilsonville, about an extension of the West Side Express service commuter line. So they're trying to, they asked us to get on board with putting a letter in for funds for a survey or a planning on this. So we agreed to that. It's, you know, this is something that's going to be down the road a ways, but it makes sense to, we've got a lot of people here in our area that commute to the Portland Beaverton area. So if we're going to get some, you know, get a study done on that, we might as well get involved. It'll affect us eventually.
You're either at the table or on the menu.
Yeah.
So about the Amtrak train commuting kind of a thing, or?
Well, it would be, there's already, it's not really a light rail, but there's already a train that runs to Wilsonville to Portland, to Beaverton. So they're looking at extending that down to through Salem. And it would use the line that's here that runs through Kaiser right next to the bus depot there. So that would be a, you know, a good thing for us. We really don't have any room for expansion for more people to come in. But the people that are here could benefit from that in the future. So that was something that we agreed that it was worth putting our name in to say we approve for funds for that that study. Other than that, without having buildable land, we really can't plan for too much expansion. But my personal opinion, this year is probably the best chance we have of making any headway in the UGB talks because of the City of Salem. Their city council has seemed to be a little more open to talk with us, so we can at least have dialogue. And with the governor's stance on getting more housing in Oregon, you know, we might have a little bit more sway saying we need to do something so we can participate in this growth. So that's my personal opinion. There's other people in the council that are saying, you know, kind of the same thing. This is the time we need to, you know, really get a plan together and at least talk and discuss what we can do to proceed. So just my opinion, nothing's happened yet, nothing's been going, but I just think that, you know, I actually started on the Planning Commission, I don't know, 6-8 years ago or something like that, and I was hoping I'd see something happen in that for 4 years.
We got a lot of good work done back then, Councilor Jenner.
Yeah, but it's just a complicated issue, and, you know, nothing's happened, so I'm hoping this year we'll at least get to at least talk a little bit more about it.
I tend to agree, Councilor Grant, and I think one of the biggest things that is not being discussed with this whole concept of housing is the cost. And I think before Nate left, you guys brought forward a study, and it was like $80 million in 3 or 4 years ago money to expand our 30 or 60 acres we think we'd like to go after at one point. The cost of growth analysis?
Yeah, I think it was $35 million for just the transportation part, right. Was what I think the number was, and then that didn't include, that was just the transportation part. So, yeah.
So, housing's great, but if you can't pay to get, you know.
Right, and that's the thing is we'll need some help, and maybe we can get there with, at least started that direction with some legislative action.
All right, so council representative should be Commissioner Adishan. He won't be here, so I'm actually happy to pinch it on that on the 21st for now. I might pinch it for Mo on the 21st. I think I owe somebody anyways.
I think I owe you.
I'm sorry? I'd be happy to. All right. Shane, you're going to bring some stuff on March 8th, right?
I think so.
Great. Thanks for all your hard work, both of you, Dina. Shane, thank you. Commissioners, thank you. Welcome to a brand new year. It's going to be fun. We stand adjourned at 7:04.